Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure, as you know, being part of my day and letting me be part of your day. Kristen Arnold is our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is the author of a number of books, including Email Basics and Team Basics. She is our team building expert in the Brain Trust and just a really cool lady and pretty darn smart. Kristen Arnold, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Well, it's nice to always be invited back.
It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Kristen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can tell. No, I know. I can imagine how wonderful it must be to be part of, to be on this show. Kristen, you've been doing a lot of, you continue to do a lot of work on team building. As you know, I think you probably heard the end of the last interview with Tom Schmidt, the senior VP with FedEx, president of one of their groups, and he talked about the simple solutions, the simple elements of leadership, and I know that these are the kinds of things that you do, that you talk about. Only you talk about it when you're trying to build team dynamics.
Build high-performance teams.
Yeah.
And I think I have a simple solution for the business owners who are just working too hard.
All right.
So, listeners, if you feel like you're working too hard trying to build your leadership team or your management team or your whole employee company team, there's a simple solution in here.
All right.
You interested?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Or maybe we should say we're going to give you some slack on it. For those of you who don't subscribe to Jim's newsletter, I'm going to put a plug in here. He's got a great article this week called The Strategic Look at Critical Components, Slack. And that's really one of the things that you as a business owner need to do when you're bringing your team together is, are you working too hard? Are you taking care of all of the components, or are you sharing the wealth and letting other people get involved and do some of the work for you?
And are you cutting yourself some slack?
And letting yourself do that.
That's
so,
right.
For example,
right.
Jim, when you're bringing a group of people together, there's a couple of critical components that happen. And for the most part, we as business owners, we kind of take control of all of those and don't give ourselves enough slack. There's a piece about leading the session that you're coming together to do. There's a piece about making sure that you're staying on track. There's a piece about whether you're staying on time. And there's a piece about who's recording what the heck you're going to be doing as a result of that great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's leading, and there's timekeeping, and there's being a process check, and there's being a recorder. And chances are you're doing all of it.
Hmm.
And so you need to give your slack and give some of those responsibilities to your other team members.
Now, can they participate and benefit from the discussion while they're keeping up with these things? I mean, does this require multitasking?
Well, it does require a little bit of multitasking because you don't want them to turn their brain off and say, "Oh, I'm not going to participate anymore."
Mm.
So that's why. But keep in mind, if you're doing all four of those tasks, imagine how difficult it is for you to be multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give discrete pieces of those functions, those components, out to other people.
All right.
So it's a pretty easy thing to say, you know, Jeanette, could you please keep track of the time for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get close to the end of this section, let's, you know, give a 5-minute warning or a 2-minute warning or just say time's up.
Or if somebody decides to go off on a tangent and hold the group hostage for too long, somebody gets to call them on it.
Now, that's the role of what I would call either the process observer or a facilitator.
Or the meeting Nazi, right?
The meeting Nazi. Now, wait a minute. I resemble that remark.
No, you
because
do.
In my job, what I do in my company is all we do is we either facilitate meetings or we train other people how to facilitate. So you just called me a meeting Nazi. I'm not sure I like that, Jim.
If the shoe fits?
If the shoe fits. But you don't have to send somebody to specific training or anything. You can just say, you know, how about, Jim, you be our process observer today, and when we are on track, that's a good thing. And when mm-hmm. we get off track and we're being held hostage by somebody, you point it out.
Right.
And it's okay that you point it out because we've given you that role and that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
mm-hmm.
of times groups feel uncomfortable about saying, hey, wait a minute, are we getting off track here? Because nobody's been allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we're breaching some kind of
And what you're doing is these are parameter setters for the meeting, and if it's not embodied in one person, then it's not like it's all coming from the boss. That's a good idea. Stand by. When we come back, I'm going to get Kristen to explain to us what a team could actually look like. How small could a team be? 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I need you.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And by the way, folks, that article that Christian was talking about earlier, if you subscribe this week, that's what comes. You'll get that right away, immediately after you subscribe. So check that out when you get a chance at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out our blog. And you can also go and find Christian's position in our schedule page this week, also the blog after we go off the air, also her position in our brain trust. You can go back and listen to all of the interviews that she and I have done over the years talking about team building. So if you want to go back and get literally a college education on team building, you'll get that through the wisdom of Christian Arnold. Christian, give us your website, please.
It's www.extraordinaryteam.com.
All right, so check that out. And they can find your books there, too, can't they?
Yes, you can.
And I'm sure they're at other places as well, wherever books are sold. Okay, Christian, before we go back into what you were talking about a minute ago about team building, help us out with what a team can look like and how small a team can be.
Well, should we start with size first?
Yeah.
You know, I'm often asked what's the best number of people to put on a team. And if you think back to your childhood and all the basketball teams and baseball teams, I think basketball has like 5 and baseball has 9 and soccer has 11. And you know, really what happens is that we like families. And so the number of about 5 to, let's say, 9 is typically best for really getting work done. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a team, in a smaller team inside of a larger team. So, for example, your whole company is probably a team.
Right.
And that inside of your company, you have separate teams. The mm-hmm. key is making all of those teams in alignment with each other mm-hmm. so that they're not working suboptimally.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the smallest component is somewhere between 5 to 9, maybe to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so if you're talking about what does that extraordinary team look like, usually those are groups of people who are aligned towards a common purpose, and they're using a smooth process, and they like to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be
two people, right?
You know, two is a team because the definition of a team is two or more people.
Mm-hmm.
Two people is more of what I'd call a dyad, and that's it doesn't have
not
that
a not a diode dynamic. Not a diode a dyad
not a diode a dyad. You have dyads and then you have triads.
Yeah.
It's really tough to get the synergy of a team with just two people.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, you are a team.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the reason I say that, there are a lot of small businesses out there who only have a handful of folks. And
I disagree with that one. Even a group that has just one or two people, you still have a team around you. They might be other than employees, if you don't have those. You have suppliers, vendors,
there
you have customers, you have your family, that support network.
Your professional advisors, your attorneys, accountants, things like that, the insurance agent, all those folks, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not alone out there, folks.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, so thank you for that. Now let's get back into what you were talking about.
Oh, okay. Fade to black, different subject. Okay, so you're leading the meeting, and you know, even parts of leading the meeting, you don't have to lead everything. You can ask someone else, Tom, why don't you take this section? Why don't you lead us on a discussion about the holiday party?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can.
Now, do you give them notice before the meeting? If you're structuring the meeting, you're the one who called the meeting. You're going to be, holding the meeting. Do you let them know in advance? Now, when we get to the meeting, you're going to be talking about this and you're going to be talking about that.
I would, especially a good practice is when you put together an agenda of kind of here are the topics that I want to talk about. Put their name next to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a personal request. Do you feel comfortable about doing this or not? And send that out so that people have a heads up. Now, the good news is if you start this as a practice and it becomes a habit, then you don't have to have as much prep time because then people know that when they get the agenda, their name is next to one of those topics, that they're in charge of it.
They're going to be called on.
The first couple of times you do it, you might want to do a little bit more prep work and give people the heads up.
Right.
The same thing with Timekeeper. Or the same thing with being a process observer or being
mm-hmm.
a recorder,
mm-hmm.
is once you get the process in place that they know what that means, then you don't have to do as much coaching and pre-work up front.
Right, right. Okay, what's next?
Okay, so the recorder role, I think it's always helpful to have a visual to help people make decisions. Okay, so somebody should be noting down what's being said. And that's usually called a recorder role. And you can, if it's a small group of, you know, 3 to 9 people, using a flip chart is really, really helpful. Now, for those small business owners, you probably have a whiteboard or something in your office, or mm-hmm. maybe an easel chart, easel paper. I highly recommend having a visual because then that way, when somebody says something, and then they keep beating it up and coming back to it, you can point at it on the
right.
wall and go, yeah, we got that idea.
So you got somebody who's got a good handwriting, who writes plainly and clearly, which would not be me, and you get that person up there. For some reason, it typically winds up being a lady because they usually have better handwriting than the guys. And so you have that person get up there and record what's being said, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about?
Well, it doesn't always have to be a lady, but yeah.
we'll sort this out when we come back after these messages, folks. It's Tintill, and I'm going to catch it during the break, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Just thought you might want to know. Tintill, stay with us. We'll be right back with Christian Arnold. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Kristen, don't hit me anymore. Stop hitting me.
I wouldn't hit you. But we just left our listeners at a very odd place, you got to admit.
Well, I always leave my listeners at an odd place. But
yeah.
but I was saying, and folks, I caught it for this, I was saying that you know, the scribe, the recorder, as you call them, somebody to write these things down. Folks, we're joking around a little bit with this, but I think this is one of the most important elements of a team meeting is getting the high points, the really aha moments, or maybe just the mundane things that we just need to remember. Get them down on a white paper and up on the wall, up on a board somewhere,
yeah.
So people can sit there. It's amazing what happens when people sit there and look at something they already know, looking back at them on a sheet of paper.
Right.
But we were talking about who would be that scribe, who would be that recorder, and I said a lot of times it's the ladies because they print so neatly.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Special. Now, another thing that you want to capture are action items, because every time your team meets, there should be an action item. either think about this, do this, contemplate, do something. But you're very right, Jim, in that a lot of women tend to have neater printing.
Mm-hmm.
What the problem that I had with it is that if we always call upon the same person to be the recorder or the scribe, and the difference between a recorder is they put their information on the flip chart on the wall. Mm-hmm. A scribe is somebody who writes it down for the meeting minutes forever. So it might be either in a computer or just a longhand, and then it gets copied and sent to folks,
mm-hmm.
or it gets emailed. So the difference is one is very visual in front, and the scribe is they send the stuff out at the end.
Right.
Okay. But what happens is we give it to the person who, quote-unquote, has the best talent for it, which is a good thing in any kind of team activity. Giving people who have the best talent, you give them that task.
Right.
The problem with this is, remember, we're talking about sharing the wealth. We don't want to stick one person with that activity all the time, because
right.
then they're going to hide behind it.
And they're going to become stereotyped too, aren't they?
Pardon me?
They're going to have, it's going to be a little stereotyping going on there too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the great things about teams is we train other people. We develop each other's skills. So even though you said that you're a horrible writer on a flip chart, I got to tell you,
I didn't say horrible. I didn't say horrible.
Okay. You let me rewind the tape. I don't remember what you said. You didn't. You said that you weren't that.
Not the guy you want writing the things down. That's right.
Okay. Neither am I. But I had to learn it,
mm-hmm.
and now I do a credible job. Not the greatest, but not too bad. So we can all learn and develop from each other.
You know, another thing, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but if you've got somebody who is not participating, you know, in the discussion, they're sort of introverted and shy, you know, maybe this would be a good way to get them up in front of the group. They don't have to say anything. They could just mm-hmm. Make the notations, and then maybe at some point say, you know, Sue or Joe or whoever, would you read those last things back to us and
mm-hmm.
get them actually, you know, they don't have to actually say anything of their own yet. They can just sort of repeat back what's been said. What do you think about that?
Right. Actually, all of these activities get people involved. But here's the rub on this one. The person with the pen has the most power.
Ah.
So the person who's writing down what people are saying actually has more power, because they're the ones who are interpreting what's been
mm-hmm.
said and trying to condense it down into a writable
mm-hmm.
form. So, you know, you want to make sure that you've got somebody who's engaged but hasn't checked out.
Right. I got 1 minute left, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
What's our last thoughts?
The last thought is, if you have somebody checked out, get them involved in a lower level activity like timekeeper, or maybe the scribe role. And then build up their skills and their interest into the process observer role and the recorder role
mm-hmm.
and some of the leadership role.
What if you said to, and you rotated this, and you said, okay, in our next meeting, John or Sue, you're going to be leading the next meeting next month or whenever it is. What do you think
uh-huh.
about that?
I think that's a great idea. Give that person some coaching first.
Yeah.
Before you just let it go. Just like anything that you delegate to somebody, you don't just give it to them and let them rip.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give them some instruction, some coaching, some inspiration, and then you can let them go.
Outstanding team building wisdom from the mind of Kristen Arnold, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Email Basics and Team Basics and others that you can find at her website, which is, Kristen, what is it?
www.extraordinaryteam.com.
Check it out when you get a chance. Thank you, Kristen, as always, for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Gotta go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.